My name is Chantel Babb. I'm the market manager of Frosty Farmer Winter Market, and you're listening to the Farmers Market Podcast.
Keep it fresh, keep it local. Celebrate the heart of a community focal. From veggies to honey, there's so much to see. The Farmers Market Podcast is the place to be.
Great day, everybody, and welcome to the Farmers Market Podcast. I'm your host, Stefan Holt, and today we've got someone really special joining us, Chantel Babb, the heart and hustle behind Frosty Farmer Winter Market in Greenville, South Carolina. She's the one making sure local farmers and makers have a place to shine in the winter and even when the weather's not so nice. From organizing more than 100 vendors to keeping things fun and community-focused, Chantel's built something truly amazing. Let's get to know the story behind the market and the woman who keeps it all running. Welcome to the podcast, Chantel.
Stefan, it is an honor and a pleasure to be here with you today. Thank you for having me.
I'm humbled. So let's just get right into it. A lot of people see your face when they come into the market, whether it be a vendor or just an average, you know, market goer. How did you get started with Frosty Farmer Winter Market?
I got started as a vendor. You may know that I have a sweet potato pie business in town.
That's right.
I worked for Swamp Rabbit Cafe years ago. I was making my pies back then, but working at Swamp really gave me an appreciation and a love for all things local, organic, and, you know, just supporting local everything. And I wanted to incorporate the best and freshest ingredients into my pie. So I did that, and I've taken my pie into retail spaces like, you know, Harris Teeter and such. And we're at the TD Saturday Market on Saturdays from May through October. But there's this huge lull after October. As you can imagine, folks, even though we have access to sweet potatoes year round and we eat sweet potato french fries and sweet potato everything all the time, yes, Somehow people still view this pie as seasonal. Many people do anyway. I am trying to change the culture. So, you know, after October, my business still needs to survive and thrive. And I know that many others did as well. And that's how it was born from that. It was born from a need. And then just finding the right spaces.
Now, how long has the Frosty Farmer Winter Market been going on?
So this is our second season. Okay. We started last season at a brewery nearby, very close by to MacArthur Square, Think Tank Brew Lab. And the hosts there are the folks who owned that space at the time, Ryan and Julie, were just amazing. And they welcomed us with open arms and opened up early and had their team there making breakfast burritos for our customers. And we, you know, we took over their space on Saturdays. They loved it. We loved it. It was great. And it was an excellent launching pad. But I've always known that I wanted this market to be grander, if you will.
And
so I would leave that market last season and walk over or drive over to MacArthur Square, walk the building, walk the space, just imagining where I would put a bounce house, where I would put yoga, how the vendors would be laid out.
So MacArthur Square was not even on the radar. I mean, it wasn't, because I have been to MacArthur Square before the market, and it is pretty dead. I mean, there's nothing really going on. Everybody's got office spaces there, but there's not a whole lot of foot traffic.
It is the home of a significant number of nonprofit organizations here in the upstate. It's also the home of 9 universities. They have administrative offices there in that space. So, but that's the space that I would walk. So MacArthur Square was always on the radar.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I would leave Think Tank, drive over to MacArthur, and walk that space dreaming of hosting the market there, holding it there. And, you know, even measuring the space and trying to figure out, you know, how many vendors can I squeeze into here? We had about 50 over at Think Tank. So we've been able to more than double that number. And it's just been a game changer, even though we're literally like six city blocks from Think Tank. You would think we'd move to a different city.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's impressive. It's, you have, just to kind of give people a lay of the land, if they've never been, if they've, they haven't been, they need to go, because it is, it's an experience. It's, you know, I've been to many markets. I've participated like you have at markets, and you have that outdoor feel with the sun beaming and everything else.
Yeah.
But it's really different when you're inside and at a former mall, basically.
Right. Right.
Tell us about the dynamics and all of the vendors and the atmosphere.
So, like you said, you've been indoors at our market, and it is a it's a unique experience. It is definitely different. I wanted to set an environment, a festive kind of event environment. Like, I want folks to view this as a destination every weekend. And to do that, of course, we had to have the best vendors around, just the things that people will come out for. Right. So you'll see at our market, many of the vendors you'd find at TD Saturday Market and at, you know, the TR Market and Hub City Market in Spartanburg. We've got a few of their vendors, the Greer Market. So, you know, getting the best vendors and getting a bounce house and attractions that are going to bring in families and just every member of the community is welcome. And I wanted to make that so clear and kind of set that stage. So we have the music and we have yoga, because movement is important. We don't do it as much in the wintertime. And so I wanted to incorporate, you know, that aspect as well. So we offer free yoga to the community from 10 to 11 every single Saturday. And our yogi, Cesar, he is just amazing.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's just another way to bring folks inside, bring them in our doors. And oh, by the way, while you're here doing your yoga, hey, walk the market floor, you know, check out our vendors and see what we've got. So,
yeah, it's a diverse mix. The yoga, I have seen yogas at farmers markets before early in the morning, typically like at the beginning of the market. Yours is kind of, it's kind of at the beginning, sort of. But yeah, the fact that it's indoors is kind of cool too. You probably won't see me out there doing yoga too much, but
Come on.
I mean, I've done it. Don't get me wrong. It's just, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. I can tell you that.
It's not, but
what's the criteria you use when you're looking at vendors or activities? I mean, you've got live music going on, and it's not the same person each time. It's different bands and groups and individual. I was there, and the gentleman that was playing was phenomenal. And I was like, well, okay, how is she getting these people? So what criteria do you use?
I talk to folks who play other markets, folks who are recommended to me. We've had mostly DJs, but we were able to get in a few musicians this season. And last week, for example, we had the Stringed Keys. I first experienced them at the downtown market on Saturday. They were just amazing. And I always describe them as, you know, Maroon 5 or Dua Lipa meets Bridgerton. You know, it's poppy, it's upbeat.
Right.
They can cover anything and everything. So you just kind of let them know the tone you want to set for your market, and they play to that. And then we've had DJs, which have been also just super amazing. I don't have a huge budget for music, and I found that other markets don't as well. In fact, I learned that the downtown market, the downtown market is a 501c3 nonprofit. So a lot of those musicians, I'm told, pay for free. I don't ask musicians to play for free, because to book bands, and I used to gig around town. I used to sing jazz around town with the trio, right, or sometimes just a duo. So asking people to work for free is just not something I've been able to achieve. So we do have a stipend. It's not huge, but we found that folks want to support our market. They want to play our market. They know that we have excellent crowds coming through, and folks have been able to book weddings and stuff as a result of being on our stage. So,
wow, that's a great benefit. What I like about the music, though, is when you walk in, it's not overpowering. Like, I've been to some markets and it's like the music is the first thing you hear. It's part of the environment, which is nice, right, because you can still talk to vendors, you can still ask questions, and you hear the music in the background. And it's not so low like you're in an elevator type situation, but it's, you hear it, it's a part of the environment, it's not overpowering, it's not, you do a very good job of selecting the musicians that you bring in, because it's not one or the other, it's a very eclectic mix, but it's, I don't want to say it's like mid-range top 40s and back in the 80s, but that's kind of how you feel when you're walking around. It's like, it's not punk rock where you hear metal, and it's not overly classical where you've got nothing but violins, which I love violins, but yeah, it's you've got a very kind of, you know, it's a top 40 kind of vibe.
We'll slip in some Nirvana and, you know.
But it's not hard. I mean, it's not like Metallica's playing it at the market. You know what I mean? So how do you also involve the community in different aspects? And I know you're a very community focused person. How do you engage with the local community in terms of some of the nonprofits, just, you know, beyond the marketplace or as a part of the market?
Well, as part of the market, I was intentional about setting aside a space for a nonprofit or a community organization to come in and be able to set up a table. We provide a table and chairs, and they can come in, bring informational material about who they are, what their mission is, what their needs are as an organization, whether it's funding or volunteers. But I wanted to, you know, create that kind of space. And last season, we had nonprofits like Meals on Wheels and, you know, the Greer Soup Kitchen and others. And this season, we've hosted the Red Cross and the Children's Museum of the Upstate, Boy Scouts, Phoenix Center. So, and we've got a couple more coming this season. So that was critically important to me. We did that last season as well. But it's another way to let the community know what we're doing, who we are. And these organizations, they post on their websites that they're going to be with us on that weekend. And so, you know, some of their followers come in. So it's really a win-win. And I've always had a heart for the community. And you know, giving in general is so important to me. I've been part of nonprofit organizations, been on the board of a nonprofit, and service is so important. And when I make my millions, ultimately, I'm going to give so much of it away. and so these organizations need to come out and be part of our market, because you're going to get some of my millions someday.
So what kind of traffic? I mean, I think anybody that's in the community space, whether you're selling to local folks or growing food or just engaging in at a farmer's market, you find a connection and you want to give back. Even as a grower, you want to give back, whether it's information, food. Obviously, you're giving food in exchange for money, but you also want to give information and let people know and give them an understanding of what they're eating, how you made it, where you got, you know, like you said, you source the ingredients. You're getting a lot of foot traffic just from the couple times that I've been. What are you seeing in terms of numbers? The parking lot at McAllister Square is awesome. You couldn't ask for a better setup in terms of just being able to accommodate the Greenville area.
You could not.
Yeah. What are you seeing in terms of traffic numbers? Like just people, body counts.
We have thousands of folks coming through.
Wow.
Every week. really strong at the beginning, of course. And there's this dynamic with farmers markets where they tend to kind of slow down near the end of their season for whatever reason that is, as folks begin getting active in other activities and, you know, kids have T-ball and this other stuff going on. So we are definitely seeing a decrease in foot traffic, and we have since probably the end of March. But then, you know, we'll have a really awesome day and the vendors are like, whoa, this is great. And then, you know, we'll have a little bit of a lull, but through it all, folks have told me, my vendors have told me that there's not been a single day that wasn't worth coming for. And that says it all. And that's just made it so worth it for me. So yeah, literally thousands coming through, and I'm not taking my foot off the gas in terms of marketing. Still doing lots of marketing online, boosting posts on Facebook and Instagram, messaging, just trying to do all that I can to help ensure that folks know about this market and that they don't miss it. There are only two left this season. So we want folks to definitely come out and experience this market before the close.
That's what I was going to ask you as well, was some of the challenges. So you've had a lot of success. It's only been 2 years, which is because you've got so much. I mean, a lot of markets struggle for years. I attended back in 2017, 2018, Fountain Inn Farmers Market when it was near gone. I mean, literally, they wanted vendors. They would even waive the fee for you to be a vendor at the market. That's how in disrepair the market was. It's come back strong. They actually have a very good market now. But what are some of the challenges that you're seeing, even as a successful market in year two?
I would have to say, Stefan, the one challenge that seems to be the bane of my existence is getting enough produce in the building.
Oh boy, you're screaming the market managers. Yeah, it's everybody tell me if I'm wrong. You're trying to get a 50-50 mix, but it's very, very difficult. Am I right?
We have way too many vendors for it ever to be 50-50 at our market. I don't know about other markets, but having 50 farmers and growers in one space, I don't know. I feel like that would be a little bit of overkill, but we would be happy to have 10 produce vendors. And this year, because of what we experienced last year with not having enough, mainly because, you know, the market was an unproven entity at that time.
Right.
You know, some farmers didn't want to come on board, or, you know, just weren't sure what the market was going to do. And so they didn't want to give up their season, their rest period, I guess. So now they've seen what this market can do. So this season we had more farmers and growers sign up. And then lo and behold, we have this ridiculous freeze back in January that nearly took out some of our growers. We had one grower in particular that we were excited to have as part of this market, but they lost an entire crop.
Wow.
So yeah, because we had like 10 or so days of below freezing temperatures.
Wow.
And that frost just took out crops. So the farmers that stuck with us were bringing less or had to be out for a couple of weeks because they literally had nothing to bring us. And I thought that I had planned, you know, for that and, you know, done all the things that I could do to mitigate that this season, but then there was frost. So next season will be even better. I think our third year is going to be our strongest in this space, with folks, you know, knowing who we are, where we are, seeing what this market can do and the crowds that are coming through. I've already got produce vendors who have committed to next season who, you know, we didn't have this season or in season one. So it's going to be phenomenal next season.
That is good news. That's awesome. I do know that I spoke to a couple of the growers for microgreens, Greens to Glow, and then Mike's Manna mushrooms. I didn't realize how prevalent mushrooms were in this area that we have that many growers.
We do.
It was crazy. I didn't know that. And of course, mushrooms are kind of impervious to climate change if you're growing them indoors. So that's always a plus. And I've noticed there are a lot of growers that are growing things more in greenhouses. Hurricane Creek Farms, they have a huge business, and they do their tomatoes in a different time of the year so that they can service some of their customers.
Well, and they grow hydroponically as well.
Yes, yes. And I did ask them. I know a few years back they tried strawberries. I don't think they were as successful as they are with the lettuce and the tomatoes. The tomatoes are phenomenal. Yeah. They
got peppers too.
Yes, that's right. But so there are some things at your market that obviously are consistent with other markets. You do accept SNAP and EBT payments, correct?
We do indeed. From season one, that was important to me, that we make that available as part of being an inclusive market that welcomes every member of our community.
What measures do you put in place to ensure that the market is accessible and welcoming to all the different community members?
I think our marketing is significant. I think the space that we've chosen, it's a former mall, you know, right. So we've got the parking, we've got handicap accessibility in the restrooms and the entranceways. We welcome, you know, kiddos. We've got a taps trailer for us adults who want adult bevvies on, you know, Saturday morning, a mimosa or beer or whatever. We've just kind of brought in everything that we could think of. Am I missing something? I brought carts. No. I brought shopping carts for our seniors.
Yeah, you've got carts, you've got things for the kids, you've got food trucks, you've got drink trucks, you've got all types of different vendors inside selling drinks, everything from coffees to teas to, and the breads, oh my gosh. I mean, it's
much bread.
Yeah, we just bought carrot cake. My wife just had a birthday and we just bought some of Jen's carrot, Jen's carrot cake. Yeah, it's so awesome. And we would never have known that she existed had it not been for your market. So wow. My wife loves carrot cake. So that's what we had. There's a lot of stuff going on. The vision that you have, is it you? Is it a team? Who's organizing all of this?
You're speaking to that guy.
It's just one person. Have to start hiring people. That's crazy. So what's the future? Okay, it's year two. You've got some corporate sponsors that are helping out to kind of offset expenses that you're going to incur. What's the vision? Where do you see this 2, 3, 4 years from now?
I hope to see us at McAllister Square in that space, because I just don't think there's any better space in Greenville for this market in terms of the location, accessibility, space. It is the venue of my dreams, literally. So I hope that we'll be right there, that we'll have more sponsors, and I hope that, you know, we'll get a sponsor who will want to name this market after themselves and take that over, kind of like what TD has done with the downtown market. Yes. Yep. And made it their own, and they are a great partner and supporter of that market, and I'm a vendor at that market. So, you know, during the summer I'm flying my TD flag, and during the winter I'm flying my Southern First flag, because they're one of our sponsors. So if you hear me, Cal Hurst, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for that check, bro.
So as a as a market, you can support, I know you've how many vendors on any given Saturday?
So on any given Saturday, up to 114 vendors, and our average has been around 107, which is perfect, because 107.3 Jams is one of our sponsors. So when they saw number, they like latched on.
That always helps. So can, are you starting earlier now?
No.
Given still going to be the same.
Still going to be January through April. I want to stay in my lane. That's our okay. niche. And I don't want to compete with the holiday markets that go on in November, December. Yeah, there's so much crowding that space in my mind that I don't want to be more noise.
Okay.
Or pull vendors from, you know, other successful markets. If they're doing well and they're thriving, then there's no need. So we exist to fill a need, and I want to stick with that. So, yeah.
So if you have somebody out there that's a grower, an artisan, or somebody that just wants to sell their wares locally, what's the best way to get in touch with you and the market?
So our application for 2026 will go live August 15th, and it will be due no later than September 15th. So folks can find the application. It will go live August 15th. It will be due September 15th. They can find it in our Instagram profile, our Facebook profile, and at our website, frostyfarmer.com. So this season, Stefan, I don't know if you know this number, but we had more than 200 total vendors as part of our market. Some folks had only signed up for one single market. They just wanted to stick their pinky toe in the water and, right. and see how this market would be for them. And others signed up for all 17 markets. And then, you know, you had folks who signed up for every other market or and for everything in between.
Wow.
So as a result, we did have more than 200 people, vendors part of this market, but the layout at McAllister Square will accommodate about 114.
Wow. Yeah. My hope, is to interview all of those 114. I'm not sure I can, but we'll see. Tell me, you love what you do. I can tell. It's in your voice. It's in your energy. What's been the most rewarding aspect of managing Frosty Farmer Winter Market?
The most rewarding, I would have to say, is the messages from vendors telling me how thankful they are that this space exists for their business. Or I'll see them at other markets and they'll let me know, hey, we love your market so very much and we're so thrilled to be part of it. So I feel that this market creates economic opportunity where there was none for some of these vendors. And I find that other markets are far more restrictive than we are in terms of what folks can bring and how local things have to be. Right. And while, you know, we want local everything, we want it grown here, made here. But we understand that that's not always the case. And folks aren't walking into, excuse me, Publix and asking, you know, hey, were those strawberries grown in a farm down the road? So while we want all of the local everything, we are okay supplementing with some things that, you know, might be off season, because we just want economic opportunity for our vendors. If right. you can sell it and bring it, that's what we want. We just want to create a space where folks can thrive and take care of their families financially in a down season, if you will. I went out to San Diego just a month ago now for the big farmers market conference that happens each year. My first time getting to go, and it was
okay.
outstanding. And it's called Intense, INTENTS, even though, you know, we're indoor, but it's a great play on words.
Right, right.
But one of the things that they spoke about is speaking up for farmers markets, because that is the place where the community gets to interact with the growers directly. And it's the place where our growers actually earn the most money because they're not having to discount it for right. a retail outlet. You know, they're not getting pennies on the dollar for what they've worked so hard to grow and to produce and to bring to market. And it's kind of like, you know, farmers markets need to step up and kind of advocate for ourselves, kind of like the milk farmers did with, you know, milk alternatives like almond milk and oat milk. If you want to engage with the folks who actually grew your food, you want to talk with folks from a farm down the road, you want to make sure that they earn the most that they can. Well, no one's trying to gouge prices or take advantage of anyone, but to really get what they deserve for their crops, that only happens at the farmer's market.
Right.
There's just no other place. And right. It's special, and we want to keep it that way. And we want to make sure that folks know when you support farmers markets, you support local everything. And that is so critically important for having a robust local food system. It just is.
You have to rely on each other for certain things. And indeed. I think that the farmers markets are a great opportunity for people to share not only their goods, their services, but they share their wisdom and their knowledge. I want to thank you, Chantel, for participating and being on the Farmers Market podcast. Hopefully we can have you on again, because you're obviously at several different markets. Maybe we'll get you on as a vendor the next time, as opposed to the market manager. Thank you so much.
Stefan, I want to thank you so much for what you're doing, how you are out there just letting folks know that we exist. You've interviewed several of our vendors already, and I'm always so impressed with not just the graphics. I'm like, how does this guy have time to create these amazing graphics that are unique and that I want to use in my marketing for the market? Like the beautiful graphics, your editing is great, just such great interviews. And I appreciate that so much. And I've learned things about my vendors by listening to your podcast, which is crazy.
And that's a wrap, folks. We made it together through this episode of the Farmers Market Podcast. In good spirits, a little humor, and lots of information. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Farmers Market Podcast. If you've enjoyed our segments, if you had an itching to shop local, you're officially part of the freshest crew around. You can catch every episode at thefarmersmarketpodcast.com. It's like visiting a farmer's market without the early wake-up call or the accidental tumble of tomatoes. We're also hanging out on Facebook, where you can find us at facebook.com/farmersmarketpodcast. Follow us, share a comment, or drop a photo of your latest market haul. Bonus points for oddly shaped vegetables. And hey, if you've got a farm, a market, or a great story to share, we'd love to have you on as a guest. Just visit our website, click Be a Guest, and let us know why you'd make the perfect addition to the podcast. And who knows, your story could inspire the next wave of local farmers and food lovers everywhere. All right, that's it for today. Thanks for listening. And remember, here on the Farmers Market Podcast, we keep it fresh, we keep it local. See you next time.
Strolling through the market, it's a beautiful day. Fresh picked produce just a step away. Meat and dairy from the farm to your plate. Homemade crafts that are truly great. Keep it fresh, keep it local. Celebrate the heart of a community focal. From veggies to honey, there's so much to see. The Farmers Market Podcast is the place to be. Learn about the farmers and the seeds they sow. The beekeeper's secrets and how gardens grow. Homesteading wisdom, tips galore. Every week, there's always more. Keep it fresh, keep it local. Celebrate the heart of the community focal. From veggies to honey, there's so much to see. The Farmers Market Podcast is the place to be. The cluck of the chickens, the buzz of the bees. Fresh air and sunshine, it's all you need. Connecting with the farmers, the crafters too. Every episode, there's something new. Keep it fresh, keep it local. Celebrate the heart of the community, Focal. From veggies to honey, there's so much to see. The Farmer's Market Podcast is the place to be. So grab your basket and come along. Tune in each week for the freshest song. The Farmer's Market Podcast, it's where you'll find stories of the land.